I greet everyone in the name of Jesus. Appreciated the devotions, Russell. It's a good introduction. Today, being Mother's Day, I'm going to be preaching about mothers, mothers and wives, mothers in our homes. Today is the day when families pay special tribute to their moms. And, you know, the sad thing is, too often Mother's Day is just one day set aside to atone or make up for a year of neglect or disrespect and lack of appreciation. And I think we do appreciate the moms in our homes. We understand that they have a hard job. Quote, I forget, didn't write it down, Barbara Mrs. White, or something, said anyway that mother's work is hard. If it was easy, fathers would do it. And I think we all understand that they fill a place that we as men could never do. We just want to look at a few different aspects of motherhood. First of all, I think we all need to understand, and we understand that we live in a post-Christian era. And that doesn't mean that the church is dead or that Christianity is dead, but rather it means that the influence of the biblical Christianity that was once the foundation of our nation is no longer there. Culture has diminished or has deteriorated to the point where the principles of our nation are no longer built on Christian principles, but rather it's turning to a secular focus more and more all the time. You know, Christians of about 100 years ago wouldn't recognize the nation, the principles that guide the nation anymore. And this includes a whole bunch of things: morality, education, social action, and also, maybe most importantly, parenting. You know, this whole idea of Christianity being an important part of the structure of the church, or of the, I'm sorry, of the base of the nation, could be seen just the other day was the National Day of Prayer, and President Biden didn't even use the word God at all in his speech. Apparently, I didn't actually listen to his whole speech, but compared to that, compare that to a few years ago, you know, George W. Bush, I think, used the word God about four times. President Clinton, or Obama, used it twice, I think. President Trump used the word of God, or used the name God eight times. And poor President Biden couldn't even manage once. Not sure if it was all his fault or his speech writers, not sure. Anyway, I'll leave that there. But we see the deterioration of the nation, and then that filters into the church as well. I think secular humanistic reasoning permeates every aspect of society, and then the tendency is for it to creep into the church as well. That our frame of reference is no longer based so much on God's word as what it needs to be on the Bible. Christian should be one who sees the home and marriage and parenting as being framed in the guidelines and parameters of God's word. The truth of God's word should not only shape our beliefs and our practices, but there should be absolutes that guide our lives, everything that we do. And the problem is that today people's minds have been darkened by secularism and sin. to the point where we can no longer, it's hard to see what is biblical and what is secular. It becomes clouded. The threat that we face is that we fail to see a need to subject our personal opinions and reasonings and emotions to the guidelines of the scripture in all of the aspects and areas of our lives. And this includes in our homes as well. We have to be careful that we maintain that filter, that we, every aspect, every part of our lives, that we base that on the Word of God. You know, in Romans 12, verse 2, we have a familiar, we just looked at it a few Sundays ago, this scripture: be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can read that and continue to think that this applies only to our moral behavior and not to the everyday things like marriage and raising children. That is a threat, but we must realize that we also need to have conformed minds in that as well, in our home life as well. All right, first part, we want to look at some of the responsibilities of mothers, wives. You can turn with me to the familiar passage in Proverbs 31. We'll read verses 10 to 31 this time. Starting verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So, first of all, there's a few, some trivia here, but these verses, apparently verses 10 to 31 are an alphabetic acrostic in Hebrews. I wasn't able to find that exactly what all. But I mean, that's an interesting point, the poetry of that, or the beauty of that. If it would be nice if we knew Hebrew. But every verse from verse 10 to 31 starts with the first, with one letter of the alphabet, Hebrew alphabet, and so forth, goes on, apparently. And also another thing to see here is that virtuous, translated literally, means strength and valor, and in all ways excellent. It refers to moral strength, integrity, and efficiency. We'll look at five qualities that we see here in verses, first one, verses 11, 12, and 23. Speaks of her being trustworthy and devoted. So she has her husband's confidence and she enhances his reputation. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. It's a blessing to have partners like that, to have wives that are devoted and trustworthy, that have our backs, that help us as men to be who we need to be. And we have so many times in our lives when it is the wife that gives encouragement to the husband to make decisions that he needs to make, to be who he needs to be, to help him to be known in the gates, so to speak. You know, if it wasn't for the contribution of faithful wives, and maybe we could say, first of all, training and influence of mothers in the home, we could never even begin to be who we need to be as men. So let's be thankful for our wives, for their trustworthiness, for their devotion to us, the confidence they can give to us. All right, number two, verses 13 to 19. She is a woman of diligence and wisdom. She is not afraid to work, and she is a wise shopper, and she plans ahead. Some of the thoughts from these verses. To be a virtuous woman like it is portrayed here in these verses requires diligence and requires wisdom and requires someone who plans ahead, someone who is not afraid to work, someone who knows how to get good bargains. I think we all are also thankful if we have a wife like that. Number three, verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hands to the poor, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is a person who is a willingly giving person. In other words, she has planned ahead well enough to not only be able to take care of the needs of her own family, but also the needs of those around, the poor in the society. I think that's what I'm speaking about here. And we realize that, ladies in our church, Christian women generally are like that as well. They obviously provide for the needs, everyday things in the home, and then also they look beyond their own homes, but also the needs of society around, needs of those that are less fortunate, maybe those that are going through difficult times. Another blessing to have wives like that. Then number four, verses 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. And then verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She is dependable. When adversity comes, she already has a plan to deal with whatever that might be. This is a virtuous woman that does that to have a plan in place for not just when things go well, but also for the time of difficulty. And then the last one here of the qualities we want to look at right now, that she is a woman who loves the Lord. We see this by reading all of these verses. It's maybe not spelled out directly, but it's implied that a virtuous woman that's spoken of here is one who loves the Lord. She is someone who is guided and directed by God's word and God's wisdom. You might read these verses and think this is a superwoman or someone that is, some of these things are unattainable, but I don't think so. I think we are blessed by having women like that. This is rather describing a woman who is living in a supernatural way with a supernatural God. There are a few things that are more important to our society than godly women. We know that family is the foundation of society, and while us as men, as fathers, we have a responsibility for the way the family goes, we know that mothers are the glue that holds the family together. Okay, for the next point, I want to look at some of the challenges that mothers face, women face. I think we need to look at motherhood and femininity with respect. Notice it's femininity, not feminism. Motherhood is more important than having a career, and we're not saying that there are no women that can't have other jobs as well. But the important thing for us to understand is that motherhood is the most important job that it can have. First of all, that needs to have a priority. You can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read some verses here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. I think we all realize that we live in these perilous times, these last days. People have become lovers of themselves and lovers of money. The danger, the challenge for us is not to be boasters, proud, blasphemers. All these are sins of pride and come from loving oneself. Disobedience to parents and unthankfulness are also a result of having an exaggerated sense of self-worth. This is the world we live in. What do you think it does to women who, by the very nature of their creation, are designed to need love and affection and reassurance? What does it do to them if we, as husbands, love ourselves more than we love our wives? Or when we love money more than we love our wife. You know, Satan's first attack was against the wife, and it immediately affected the home. He is still attacking us today. He is still attacking mothers and wives. And sometimes when we as husbands are loving ourselves too much, or maybe we love money too much, if we are prideful, that is a challenge to the wife then to be who she needs to be. Children that are disobedient, people that are unthankful and loving, these human behaviors and tendencies are something that will damage and destroy the home. It's those of us who are husbands and fathers, we need to take note of this. And because even though our wives are the keepers of the home, we are supposed to be the protectors of the home. In other words, we should not allow these other distractions, these other sins that to infiltrate our homes and to become part of the lives of our families. We can't do a whole lot about what goes on in the world, but we can make sure that these philosophies, these sins don't come into our homes. You can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. You probably knew I would be turning there yet. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 to 29. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. If we truly live that, if we truly love our wives as Christ loves the church, then it will be easier for the wife to be a virtuous woman like it speaks of here in Proverbs. Let's do our part. Let's take that challenge. We are to love our wives sacrificially. If we fail to love our wives like this, what we're doing is disobeying this command that is given from God's word. And we are distorting the picture of Christ and the church that it is to represent to the world. If we fail to love our wives like this, we sin against our wives and against our children, because our children pick up from our attitudes and our actions how to treat their mothers. All right, back here in Proverbs 31, we see that the demands on mothers is incredible. There are so many responsibilities that they have. This includes grocery shopping, preparing meals, washing and ironing, house cleaning, caring for the many needs of the family, and on. Just was reading one little story, I guess it was true, is an elementary school class, I'm not sure what grade, fairly small children. Anyway, in science class, they were looking at magnets and all the properties of magnets, what all magnets do one day, and then the next day, not sure if it was the same class or whatever, but they were supposed to write and describe a six-letter word starts with M and picks up things, and over half of the students wrote mother. I think that's just, children just realize or understand that mothers are that incredible. They do everything, pick up everything. I'll just also another tongue-in-cheek list of job description of mothers. This is a permanent job. It's number one. Number two, the successful applicant must be prepared to work hard. Number three, the workplace is often a challenging and chaotic environment. Number four, applicants must possess excellent communication and organizational skills and be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings and weekends and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Number five, extensive chauffeuring duties also required, but your travel expenses will not usually be reimbursed. Number six, some overnight travel will be required, including trips to campsites on rainy weekends. Number seven, must be willing to be hated at least temporarily until someone needs $5. Must be willing to bite tongue repeatedly. Must possess physical stamina of a packed meal and be able to go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds flat in case this time the screams from the backyard are genuine and not someone just crying wolf or playing. Number 10, must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges such as small gadget repair, mysteriously sluggish toilets, and stuck zippers. Must screen phone calls, maintain calendars, and coordinate production of multiple homework projects. Must have ability to plan and organize social gatherings for clients of all ages and mental outlooks. Must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and an embarrassment the next. Number 14, health and safety. Must be able to handle the assembly and product safety testing of hundreds of toys and battery-operated devices. Number 15, attitude and demeanor. Must always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. Must assume final, complete accountability for the quality of the end product. Number 16, responsibilities also include floor maintenance, laundry, janitorial work throughout the place of employment. 17, promotional prospects. None, your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Number 18, previous experience. None required, because no other form of employment is totally relevant. But on-the-job, in-service training is offered on a continually exhausting basis. 19, wages and bonuses, none. Job satisfaction is what you hopefully receive. Number 20, outlays. You pay every bill for your child at least until they turn 18 because of the assumption that college will help them become financially independent. And when you die, you give them whatever is left. The strangest thing about this reverse salary scheme is that you should enjoy it and wish you could only do more. Number 21, benefits. While no health or dental insurance or pensions or tuition reimbursements, no paid holidays and no bonuses are offered, this job supplies limitless opportunities for free hugs for life if you play your cards right. Number 22, tenure. It's for the rest of your life. Well, this is secular tongue-in-cheek, but I think the moms can probably relate to quite a few of those. It's a great responsibility and also a great blessing, I think. All right, number three here, now going on to some helps that are available for mothers and wives. Number one, I think loving husbands can be a help if they do their part. If we are not afraid to help out around the house as well. General things, many things that we can do. And I think we should take that challenge to look for areas where we can be a help, not only in emotional help, but also physical help, whether it's chores around the house. I think husbands can do many things to help. Also, obedient children. Just being obedient, first of all, will be a help, and then also helping around the house as well, chores, responsibilities, not always having to be told multiple times, but something that your mother asks you to do, do it promptly. Another help for wives and mothers is to have right priority. I won't turn to this right now, but the story in Luke 10, familiar account of Mary and Martha with Jesus there. We know that Mary found the time to sit at the feet of Jesus and to be near him and learn of him. Meanwhile, Martha was busy with just the work around the house. Not saying that that was wrong, but she found plenty to do so that she didn't, kind of seems like, according to that account, thought she didn't need to spend time with the Lord. Maybe she wanted to, but anyway, her priorities weren't the same as Mary's. This is then the same Mary that went to the tomb and was the first person to see the resurrected Christ. And Jesus then told her to go and tell others. Mothers need to prioritize like this. This doesn't mean that they ignore the other duties of motherhood, but rather they need to have their priorities right. Mothers who end up making Martha's priorities their own will end up like Martha, and they'll find themselves resentful, full of self-pity and tension and stress. You know that Jesus himself took his time to pray and to be alone with his Heavenly Father. So the challenge to you moms, do you find yourself so busy that you don't take the time to sit at the feet of the Lord and listen to his word, to study his word, and take your burdens and cares to him? The Bible makes it clear that no wife or husband, no mom or dad can be the kind of spouse or parent that they need to be with if they don't prioritize like this, if they don't spend their time with the Lord. In fact, we know that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Then Proverbs 31 here, verses 30 and 31. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Speaking here of the vanity of looks, and while I think women are created with a beauty, and that is a blessing as well, that's not the most important thing. The woman who finds her value in her looks will be disappointed. You know, age and gravity are unrelenting. So a wise woman needs to find her fulfillment in, or her value in greater things, in these things that we looked at in this chapter. Woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The woman who fears the Lord doesn't have to brag or boast about her own accomplishment, but her own works will praise her, and it will be seen. Doesn't need to be sharing everything on Facebook or on social media, whatever she's all accomplished that day, but her own works will praise her. People will see it and know it. Her children will rise up and call her blessed, and her husband will also praise her. Encouragement to moms out there today is God didn't call you to be perfect. He calls you to walk in perfection. God said in Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. That is how you can be who he wants you to be, by his spirit. Take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Take time to get into the word of God. Compare what God's word says with what the world says, and where they differ, reject the world's point of view. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus and lay aside every weight of sin that doth so easily beset us, and look unto the author and finisher of your faith. Well, I think we are all thankful every day for the influence of our mothers, the help of the mothers in our homes, the wives. But today especially, we want to pay tribute to them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we pause before you. Close of the service, we understand that the times we're living in is a time when there's much confusion, and there are so many hurting people in the world that haven't been able to enjoy homes that the way that you meant them to be, with the fathers in the homes. But today we are not necessarily focusing so much on fathers, but on the mothers and just the blessing that they have been in our lives, and the great responsibility that they have. We thank you that you have created this order, women with the gifts that they have and the abilities that they have. Just pray that you would ever help us to do our part to make their work, their position, their lives easier. Just pray that you would also give the mothers in our congregation the wisdom and the abilities they need to raise the children in the homes today, the many blessings that that is, the many challenges that they face. Just pray now that you'll be with us throughout the rest of this day as we go from here, that you would help us to just be an example to the world that looks on and looks to us, and just help us to ever be strong enough and brave enough to do what we need to be. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.